Good morning again. Just want to thank the worship team for their outstanding job, and I think they got a lot of exercise during that VBS. I got tired watching them. I had the privilege of leading the adult group upstairs, and I always thought, I'm sure they're having a lot more fun down there than we are up in room 204. But thanks, Leora, and thanks to everybody who partook in that, and what an amazing snapshot we got this morning. Now I have to give you the bad news. Thank you. Maybe, Chris, we should introduce actions into our songs and we can all get some aerobic activity. That's just a thought. Okay. If you do have your Bible, and you should have your Bible, I'll open it to Psalm 82. And if you don't have one, there's one in the pew in front of you. And I forgot to take the page number down. So if you're not sure how to operate a Bible, just listen along, or maybe somebody beside you can help you out, but just listen along. We know God's Spirit can confirm God's truth. But open to Psalm 82, and we'll proceed here. Yeah, many people all over the globe are feeling that life in this world is insecure and the future is uncertain. Regardless of what advertising may say, there's this feeling I've noticed and seen and felt myself at times. People fret over many things. It's natural resources like water and trees. It's finance, it's healthcare, it's education, it's the pension fund. That one's probably come and gone by now. It's war, it's human rights, it's all sorts of things. So many things are in crisis. And I'm no expert on these topics by any stretch, either on a global or even on our own national level. I just try to mind my own business and live my life out the best that I can for Jesus. But everywhere I go, I hear people talking about these matters. I'm at the gym, and they're talking about it while they're working out. I go into the sauna, they're talking about these kinds of things. I was with my family in BC in July while we were away, and everybody was together for a bit of a mini reunion, and these topics just came up. All sorts of things. Many fear, others are angry and think they have the answers, and some just try to ignore it. Like you, I've heard opinions and views and solutions regarding insecurity and uncertainty. I think in so many words, everything has been said and tried already in one way or another, right? And doesn't the freedom of today become the bondage of tomorrow? Doesn't the good idea that we think we need today, tomorrow, become the trouble we have to get ourselves out of? So far as I can see, which is really not that far, it's a sea of confusion. And though I have no answers to all our anxieties, I believe life at large has always been in crisis. I believe that life has always been in crisis. It's been much more intense than at other times. It's ebb and flow. But I think life's always been in crisis. And I remember Jesus' words. And when people talk to me about these things, I just try to quote Jesus. And I remember Jesus' words. This is how the nations will go. Rising, falling, warring till world's end. Don't be alarmed. This is what's going to happen. So this is the kind of scenario we would expect. It's what we see. It's what we experience. It's what we're a part of. Personally, I don't have any answers, really. I don't believe there are any real answers when the lordship of God has been set aside. I don't know if there are any answers when the lordship of God is set aside. It's one ideology against the next. That might be a bit simplistic, but that's essentially how it is. And I would just say, hey, pray for those government leaders and politicians who really want to make a difference. They're in an impossible situation. They've got their work more than cut out for them. So why? Why is the world an unstable and uncertain place? Well, many reasons could be listed. And like I said, I'm not an expert on these matters at all, but I want to venture to say that it's largely due to man-centeredness, self-centeredness, and trampling on others to get what one wants. That's how I grew up with my siblings. Stepping on each other, warring with each other. That's what my kids do. We've got to constantly referee and deal with that. I got good kids. I'm thankful for them, but they're just like your kids, right? So Psalm 82, I think, talks to this really well, so have a look at that with me. And the first question we have to answer is found in verse 1, heeding the authority on the matter. Well, who is the authority? Verse 1, God. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. When God steps in, everybody else is silent. God is the authority on the matter. And who else would it be? God is the authority. More than that, God is the supreme judge. He takes his place in the divine council. He stands in the midst of the courts of the greats of the world, those who are responsible for ruling nations and leading peoples. And it is there that God holds judgment. He holds judgment because not all is as it should be. In his covenant people, speaking to Israel here, and also to the nations, not all is as it should be. The world and life is not as it should be. And God steps in for judgment. He holds judgment for that reason. And there comes a point when God drops the bow. That's what Psalm 82, verse 1 is starting off with. God is the authority on the matter of our unstable world, and the next several verses will show us what this judgment means. So the next point we have to talk about here, the next question we have to answer, what causes instability? Well, verses 2 to 5 give us a pretty good idea of the very, very basics. Psalm 82, verses 2 to 5, let's read that together. How long? He's speaking to these gods, these human rulers. It's a figure of speech. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. So what causes the instability? It's the leaders of nations. It's the leaders within nations. It's the people we look up to and elect and expect to lead us. Corrupt leaders giving bad leadership, essentially what the psalm is saying here. What do? They exercise injustice. How? By several means. The text lists this for us. Showing impartiality to the wicked. Withholding justice from the weak and fatherless, refusing to maintain the right of the afflicted and destitute, not delivering the weak and needy from the hand of the wicked. And look at this section, verses 2 to 5. Okay? It opens with a word about the wicked, and verse 5, it closes more or less, verse 4, with a note to the wicked. That's a type of what they call an inclusio, embedded in the text. And they're bracket statements that really define that little portion of Scripture and give it its meaning. This is about leaders accommodating the wicked and trampling on others. And this is how they do it. These are some key ways that are very important to God. If you study the case of Sodom and Gomorrah from Genesis, you'll see that while the Lord and his angels went in to see what the state of the city was, and it was given over to brutal sexual immorality, violence. It wasn't safe to be on holidays and pass through these places and stop for the night because you would have been raped and probably killed. But later on, the prophets also say it was also because of the way they treated the poor and the needy and the destitute and the afflicted. It was both those reasons. These are very important matters to God. wicked leaders favoring wicked people who have status and wealth. So it was common, especially when moral degeneration had set in, to favor those who had status and wealth in society. Courts and politics come heavily into the picture at this point. Bribes and unjust scales, that's spoken of through the scriptures, the Old Testament. Those who have not are used, abused, and trampled for selfish ends. It was common in Jesus and Paul's day, too. You can see indicators of this in the New Testament. Historical studies show us this, that justice was twisted for the well-to-do, and it was stated as an obligation. It was the right thing to do, to favor those who had the status and the wealth. And I think, in essence, our time and place is not a whole lot different. Money still makes the world go round. Profit is still the central thing. People are still used, abused, trafficked, and trampled. The wicked are crafty. They find their ways in our legal and court system, our lawyers, judges, juries, politicians, whoever can't seem to scratch the surface of the problem. Well, God can and God will. That's what the psalm is telling us. God can and God will. And it's interesting that we at CRBC have made a choice with a consultation back in June 4th. We voted and we accepted to see 20% of our ministry time, efforts, and resources be directed at serving our community and loving our neighbors in ways that glorify God, exalt the gospel of Jesus, and benefit the weak and fatherless, the affected and destitute, the weak and the needy from the plight that they're in our community. 20% of who we are as a church, all of our ministries, 20% of our ministries, and it's expected that we'll learn that it's 20% at minimum of our lives, our own lives. And we're taking efforts. We're setting up training for this fall through the Life Group Ministry and other means to help us understand why we're here so that we don't fall under the same judgment as those are in Psalm 82. So you need to keep your eye out. And pray for your board. Your board is gathering on Tuesday night. They're going to talk about these targets that we've set and these things that we need to do and how we're going to implement them and follow through and be faithful to the call of God as a church and on our lives. So, bad leaders, verse 5a, look at that. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. I wish I could talk a lot more on this, just to give us an understanding, but brilliant people. Now, brilliant people lead us. Very intelligent people lead us. But when they're locked in darkness, that's an incredibly scary thing, isn't it? When they're locked in moral darkness, what can brilliant people manage to do? That's a scary thought. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. What is it talking about here? Well, I believe we could refer to a passage in the New Testament like Romans 1, 28 to 32, where it says that people didn't see fit to retain the knowledge of God. They didn't see it as useful to their life, and so they cast it aside, and it says God gave them over then. Okay, this is what you want. I will give you over to the results of that. And what does it say in that passage? There's all kinds of evil deeds that take place. Things that just cut and tear away at the fabric of a nation, of a culture, of a people, and make the world a scary and an unsafe and unstable place. And apart from Jesus, we're all contributors to that. Even those of us who profess to believe in Jesus but don't take him seriously and follow him are contributors to that very problem. But when you take that to the level of leadership, that's a very scary thing. So what is the effect of bad national leading? Well, we've said it several times. Why is it so important that God is ever ready to bring judgment down on it? Well, the second part of verse 5, all the foundations of the earth are shaken. This is what shakes the world spiritually. And the world is made an unsafe place with an uncertain future. Proverbs 29:2 says that when the righteous lead, it's good times. When the wicked come into leadership, everybody groans. And it's interesting that in the adult class, when we were doing the VBS, we talked about the enduring promises of God. We talked about things that we thought were enduring. You know, that was the first question. What do you see as enduring and holding firm and true? Well, the sunrise, the earth doing its orbit around the sun, day and night, seasons, all sorts of things. Everything kind of seems to more or less, apart from a few landslides and earthquakes, tend to go pretty much as they always do, right? And we just take that for granted, that we're going to have oxygen to breathe and be able to wake up every day. But what are the kinds of things that are unstable, the things that wreak havoc for us? The social systems that we need to live our lives, right? Things that I mentioned in the opening part. The social systems that we need to live by are the very thing that are shaken. Those who are weak, needy, fatherless, homeless, afflicted, don't care if the sun rises every day when they are ignored, used, abused, trafficked, and trampled. Maybe the rising of the sun is a reminder to them that things are never going to change. And I think we can understand why God would want to bring judgment on that and be very serious about that. That's a theme that runs throughout the scriptures very strongly. The next question we need to ask and that we need to answer is, what is the solution? What is the solution? Well, we need to be ready to accept the only solution. And if you look at verses 6 to 8 with me, I believe it's stated there. Psalm 82, verse 6 and following. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like you, like men, you shall die. And like any prince, arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit the nations. The answer is divine judgment. As great as these human rulers may be, they're called gods. Their counsel is called divine. As great as they are, they can't evade God's judgment. God will judge all, great and small, national leaders and rulers, kings and prime ministers and presidents and dictators, by extension of that, the peoples who follow them. Did you hear that? The people who follow them in injustice. Revelation 20, 11 to 15 makes that point that when God gathers the nations for judgment, it'd be both great and small, everybody. Nobody gets off the hook. Now, those who are in leadership have far more responsibility and are accountable to a far higher level, but nobody gets off the hook. God will set the world right, and his son will inherit the nations, the scriptures tell us in Psalm 2, Acts 4, for which he gave his life to redeem and to save people from every tongue, tribe, and nation, to make a people for himself. And in due time, he will once and for all transform the world into a home for righteousness. Once and for all, transform this world into a home of righteousness, of peace, of good, of safety, of security. And everything contrary to that's going to be removed. Everything. So we have a final day of reckoning here. It's judgment. It's the final judgment. Now, too many, when they hear the Christian doctrine of judgment, are immediately very, very negative about it. Upsets them, angers them. They think it's just an awful thing. But I submit to you that judgment is a real good thing. God's judgment. When I was several years ago, before Bible school, as a new Christian, I was in a work setting. And the one manager went off on sick leave for several months, and they brought in a new manager for the time being. And a lot of us were believers and Christians in this work environment, and she had heard that. And first day on the job when I meet her, you know, hi, how are you? Good to get acquainted. There she immediately says in that time frame that, okay, you need to understand something. I believe that there is one God, and he'll come back and set everything straight one day, and I don't want to hear another word about it. I said, I believe the same thing, and I won't say another word about it. There's a final day of reckoning, okay? It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. We all pass judgment at times, and we have to because of serious matters of right and wrong. We all make judgment calls, okay? Okay? We have to. The Bible says just make a right judgment. How do you make a right judgment? According to God's word, according to God's ways. He alone has the ability to do this. So there's God's temporal judgment, and at times he will halt evil in the here and now. Not always. Like I said, he's given people over to do what they want for a time frame, hoping that some will turn back. At times he intervenes and stops great evil. At times he lets things go. I'm not sure. I don't understand his plan totally, but he knows what he's doing. And then there's also God's final judgment. And that's about removing all evil forever from this world. And that's a good thing. I hope for that. I long for that. I want the world to be right. I want it to be safe. I want it to be stable. And I know that you want the same thing too. Right? Is that what you want? It'll take God's judgment to do it. That's a good thing. And so I'm guessing that the instability of the world, the feelings of insecurity and uncertain future come primarily from people stepping on people, people advancing their own agendas, however right they may think they are, and leaving God out of the picture. Fortunately, the bottom line is that God has set a final day in which he fully intends to judge the world in righteousness by Jesus, the one raised from the dead. And you and I can't afford to blindly follow the herd. We can't. It doesn't mean we don't honor the authorities put in place, but we just don't blindly follow with the herd, do we? Romans 2, 11 to 16 says that God has put a moral conscience in you that you will be held accountable to for your life, and that you can listen to that. What will it do? Well, it'll affirm what's right, it'll convict you of your errors and your sin, and it'll show you the need of the gospel. But at the same time, it's there, and you can turn to it, and you can count on that. When I started doing that, where did God lead me? Led me to the gospel and to the Bible. But anyways, we can't afford to. God is there, he has spoken, and we need to stabilize our own lives prior to the final judgment, because only those who receive and live the kingdom life now can expect to enter the kingdom when Jesus returns. Jesus is the only one who can stabilize our lives. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7 for a moment and read that together. Matthew 7. It's really this straightforward and simple. You may be in a very complex situation, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Jesus can stabilize our lives. He just finished the Sermon on the Mount, given many amazing teachings. And here's how he concludes the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock of the word of God, what God has said. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall, speaking about the storm of the judgment that comes on the human race. If you're standing on the promises of God, if you're standing on the word of God in Christ Jesus, you will make it through that. If you're not, you won't. So once you stabilize your life in Christ, you can then consider serving others, being a part of the solution. Proverbs 28:2 says that a number of wicked can make, I'm paraphrasing, can make this world a really rough place. Takes one righteous person. Okay? One righteous person, right? You'd be amazed what one person who has their heart set on Jesus can do compared to 100 who don't. Think about it this way. Picture yourself in our gymnasium and the lights are out. And you're the only one who has one little match and it's completely dark. You've got 50 people in there. And you go into a corner by yourself and you light that match. Everybody's going to see it and they're going to what? Move toward that little bit of light. It's amazing what one person can do following Jesus. So be a part of the solution. And also, you can focus on his enduring promises to you to keep you till the day he makes all things new. For our labors in Christ are not in vain. give Leora the opportunity here for a moment.